That's the ministries of believers, my ministries of believers, etc. All these ministries are finished, come gone. Why do we illustrate pomegranate with the ministry of God? In the Old Testament, they had only three main ministries. Or rather, one full-time. The others are sometimes full-time, sometimes are not. Some of the prophets are not really full-time. And the main classification of full-time was the priest. The king was on the secular side. The prophet was sometimes full-time, sometimes not. But as the development of the prophetic office went on, it became a full-time office. But the prophets didn't really have any uniform. But the priests had a specific uniform given in the time of Moses, where around the priest's garments was a pomegranate and a bell, a pomegranate and a bell. Pomegranates always represent the ministries of God. The ministries of God. Fivefold ministries, or all kinds of ministries. The ministries have been stopped. Righteousness, the palm tree, also taken off. The apple tree, apples in the Bible, is a symbol of love. The fruit of the Spirit. So, love is also absent. And all the trees of the field are withered. Every other form of manifestation are withered when these are withered away. Surely joy has withered away from the sons of men. So Joel chapter 1 talks about as the last days draw near and talks about the need that is present, the need for revival, the need for repentance, the need for restoration, the need for renewal. Joel points to the need in the last days. And as we approach the last days of the church, there comes a time when Satan throw everything at the church, which we have felt the vibrations the past few years. We feel the vibrations. We feel the things and the difficult times of the church. And we realize that in every generation, we need continual relationship and restoration and revival. Many charismatics who have been touched by God 30 years ago in a charismatic revival, today many of them are dry. They are dry. But compared to themselves 30 years ago, when they were first touched by the Holy Spirit, I mean they were wet, soaked, and floating. But today they are dry. Why are they dry? Because God is a movement and doing a movement and not a monument. When we try to build a monument around a movement, it becomes motionless. It loses its momentum. And when we try to box God up, God says, I don't like your box. And He leaves that box. And all we have is a form of godliness, but minus God. Without God involved. That's how things happen. And that's we see here in Joel, that he tells his people about all these things that are happening and warning the people. He tells them, gird yourselves in verse 13. Lament, you priests. Wail, you who minister before the altar. Come lie all night in sackcloth, you who minister to my God. For the grain offering and the drink offering, that is the word and the prayer ministry, are withheld from the house of your God. Remember, there are two things important in the church. Acts 6, the apostles said, we want to give ourselves to the ministry of the word and to the ministry of prayer. Whenever we neglect those two ministries in the church has backslided. If the church has other kinds of ministry that are more important than the ministry of the word and the ministry of prayer, it has backslided. Now some of you are thinking, what are ministry of worship? Wait till chapter 3, please. Wait till we go to chapter 3, then you see its relationship. But we see these areas, they are the backbone. Why didn't they mention worship? Because if you don't have the word and you don't have prayer, your worship doesn't really go far either. There is always step 1, step 2, step 3. And so there are these two ministries that are absent in the church. Acts 6, they were so important that the apostles said, we want to give ourselves to the ministry of the word and to the ministry of prayer. Whenever in our lives we get caught up with Christian work or Christian ministry or this and that, and Christians tend to get caught on a lot of works, programs, or this and that, and we neglect the basics, the foundation, which is the Word and prayer. When we neglect those two in our lives, we begin to go astray. I would guarantee you that every man of God who has ever fallen the past 5 years, the past 20 years, the past 30 years, they neglected only these two things, the Word and prayer. At a certain time in their life, they don't have any more devotional life with God. They don't have the real Word time with God. They don't have any prayer time with God. Why? They get so busy running about. Or even the individual Christians. If these two are neglected, the others will fail. Says here, in verse 15, alas for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Talks about all those things that will happen. Then we go on to chapter 2. There is a call. And in chapter 2, there are four movements in chapter 2. There are four movements in chapter 2. Number 1, verse 1, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of that land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. There will come a time when Satan will do everything he can. Some of you are saying, is there really such a prophecy? Even the Apostle Paul speaks about it. Turn with me to the book of Timothy. Even the Apostle Paul speaks about such a thing. Chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. Not only words, this is the prophecy of the Apostle Paul about the last days. The same Paul who wrote the whole New Testament, most of the New Testament, all the epistles, and beautiful chapters like 1 Corinthians 13, etc. Same Paul, he wrote these words in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He wrote most of the New Testament, and this is what he says in verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, we are in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing, deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received a thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Tells us there is going to be worse in the last days. Now, we need a balance in prophecy. While the Bible is also saying, it's getting dark. Paul says, it's getting darker. Today, Doomsday Prophet, it's very extremely dark. It's the darkest hour. Whoa! At the same time, some of us may have heard prophecies. It's getting brighter. The glory is coming. Oh, the glory of the last days. And most of us Christians listen to these two true prophets. And we say, how can it happen? How can two prophecies be fulfilled? Which is a false prophet so that we can stone them? See, what the Bible is telling us is that both are going to happen in the last days. Both are going to happen in the last days. But the book of Joel gives us a slight chronology in its happening. The book of Joel governs the period of the last days for the church. The first thing that is going to happen is a real perilous time. It's going to get darker for a while. Darker. And we're going to see terrible times. We have not moved into those times yet. And it talks about this army. Now, I know that there are a lot of verses that have been used to refer that army is the army of God. But if you look carefully, from verse 1 to verse 11, there is more an army of destruction. You read carefully from verse 1 to verse 11, it's a destroying army. The context of it is a destroying army. It represents in the time of Israel, the northern kingdom coming to conquer the Israelites. It represents in the church age, the demonic hosts that come in verse 2, in a day of darkness, thick clouds of darkness. This is what Paul said, perilous times. And then some people say, what about verse 11? The Lord gives voice before His army, for His camp is very great. For strong is the one who executes His word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? Alright? Let me put it this way. If you want to apply verse 1 to 11, there can be a dual fulfillment. Primarily, in the whole context of the book, this army represents an army of destruction and judgment. It was like the Assyrians whom God used to bring judgment on the nation of Israel. In a sense, God sent them, if you want to put it in a very crude sense. God sent them, or rather God allowed them to be used. Or God used them to destroy the Israelites because of the sin of the Israelites. That would be the contextual approach. But if ever you're using this to refer to the church, it has to apply very far up. Very, very far up. When Jesus Christ comes with His army against the Antichrist. That is way up. And so because of the contextual problem, I prefer to leave it as it is in its context. That refers to the consuming locust. The four types of locust. You see, the locust, in verse 25, God referred it as His army. But you and I are not locusts. See, He is talking about the judgment of Him using the Assyrians and the Chaldeans against the Israelites. When God says, I send, it's in the permissive tense. I allow them to be sent to you. In the same way as the Bible says, God sent an evil spirit to King Saul. It's a permissive tense. God has no evil spirits in His heavenly place. But God does take His protecting hand off. We have covered that before. Verse 25 says, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, the chewing locust, my great army, which I sent among you.